bit about somebody I was reading about over the last couple of days. J.M. Stagg. Anybody heard the name J.M. Stagg? Ring any bells with anybody? Doesn't surprise me. I'd never heard of him before. But really, he's a kind of modern-day Magi. You know what the Magi's work was? They looked up into the heavens. They looked up into the stars. They were trying to make prophecies and foresee the future and give advice to kings and rulers on the sort of wise course that they should take. And J.M. Stagg was effectively a modern-day Magi. He was a meteorologist, as otherwise known as a weatherman. He kind of looks up into the skies, he looks up into the heavens, and they would spot what was going on up there, the pressure bars and the changes, and prophesy and say, I think this is the kind of weather that we're going to be having over the next few days. And he was an advisor, as a meteorologist, he was an advisor to a very important group of people with a very, very important decision that they had to make. And the time when J.M. Stagg was working, the weather was absolutely foul, so I'm sure he'd have sympathized with us. And the poor weather was hampering the plans of the people who had this decision to make. And as he looked up into the heavens and he looked at all his charts, he suddenly saw what he believed to be a very small window of opportunity, a break in the weather that was coming up. He thought he saw the ideal conditions emerging for this plan to go into action. So he reported to the people who were making this big decision that he was about to foretell there was going to be a short few hours when the moon, the clouds were clear, and the moon, bright open moon, would be seen. That the high tide that they were experiencing would be at such a level as would be at the highest possible level. And in addition to that, there might even be a sea fog that would be covering over the English Channel. And so he went to speak to a man, and that man was Dwight Eisenhower. And Eisenhower considered, and they all had a big meeting to discuss this prophecy that had been given. Was it possible to take this evidence, this prophecy about what would happen in the future, and rely and commit themselves to putting the plan that they'd been forming for years and months and years into practice? And that was the night of the 5th of June, 1944. And that midnight, when midnight fell, 24,000 men were loaded into gliders and towed over the English Channel, their aircraft released in order to drift silently over the enemy lines, German lines, and to land behind the lines at strategic places in Belgium and Holland and in France. And at 6:30 a.m. the following morning on the 6th of June, 195,700 vessels crossed the English Channel and arrived at the beaches of Normandy, the largest ever amphibious landing in the whole of human history. And with all those events, we know that the heavily fortified positions in Normandy were thrown completely off their guard. They hadn't read the weather correctly. They hadn't foreseen where the landing would take place. And the liberation of Europe began. Now, fighting went on for a considerable time afterwards, but that was D-Day, wasn't it? D-Day, the beginning of the liberation of Europe. And many people, of course, surrendered and handed over their weapons. Many people in Europe were happy and glad to receive the liberating armies. Others fought on to the bitter end. Jesus' birth is the D-Day of redemption, the plan that had been formed for hundreds and thousands of years, involved so many people through the course of human history. But the birth of Jesus is the D-Day. It's the moment. I remember that there's a film, a wonderful film made of the D-Day landings, and it has the scene from inside the German bunker. They look out through the slit from the German bunker. He has his binoculars looking out, and he just sees this empty sea and this bank of fog. And then suddenly, from out the bank of fog, there appears this ship. Just one ship emerges out of the fog. And then he calls to his friend and says, I think I see a ship. And then from the fog comes thousands and thousands of ship emerging through the fog. And I think sometimes when we're reading this passage, as we look at those people sitting in the field, the shepherds looking in the field, and they look up into the open sky. There's nothing up there. It's absolutely silent. It's just an ordinary night. Nothing's happening. And suddenly they see this angel appearing in heaven. And following the angel, a huge company of angels in accompaniment. If you look there in the second chapter of Luke, that does seem to be the feeling. That there's this sort of lone rider who goes out in front of the army to be the first to break through the fog, to appear. D-Day has begun. The great plan of redemption is being put into practice. It's happening now. There's another wonderful film. I don't know if you've seen The Kingdom of Heaven. Anybody seen The Kingdom of Heaven? It's sort of based around the Crusades. And that, amongst a number of films that really specialize in this, I love the way they do this. They have the kind of the hillside, and then just one rider appears over the hillside. Just one rider. And all the scouts, they see this one rider. He's got all the flags. And he's the herald, he's the ambassador, he's the one bringing the first news. He's coming, and he'll come on his own, and he'll speak to you. He'll come right up to the castle wall, and he'll say, "Now, do you want peace, or do you want to fight?" And they'll think about it for a while, and then the next scene, you'll just see this enormous army just coming over the brow of the hill, thousands upon thousands of riders on the brow of the hill. Do you want peace, or do you want to fight? The angel of the Lord appeared to them out of the darkness on that night, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified, weren't they? The word angelos there in the Greek is the word that means messenger, the ambassador, and he comes to offer terms. Do you want to fight, or shall we talk? Do you want to surrender? Is this a time for peace? This is a time for peace. This is a time for peace. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." What easy terms. What easy terms are being offered. All they have to do is find Christ. Go to Christ. Go to Jesus. Find him and make your peace with him. That's the sign. It's also like a, you know, the flag, isn't it? A sign is the flag. It's the mark. Where am I to make the peace? How am I to make my peace? Go and find Jesus and make your peace with him. What a wonderful king. What a wonderful king. Some kings are pretty fearsome creatures, aren't they? They can be pretty terrifying. The terms they offer, crippling. But our king, he was a baby then, so approachable, so meek, so mild, so easy to please. I was just delighted. I got my first smile from Kezia the other day. It was absolutely delightful. Isn't it a lovely thing, just the way that children just give up a smile like that? It's a delightful thing. Well, Christ isn't a baby anymore, but he's still meek and lowly. He's still willing to receive all who come to him. He's easy, his terms are easy, his yoke is light. He still says, "Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest." And those shepherds out there in the field had a choice to make. Last on Sunday, we said that there was Bethlehem here, and about a mile away were the fields where the shepherds were based. And a mile beyond that was Herodion, which is the nerve center of Herod's political empire. And these shepherds were caught between these two places, between Bethlehem and King Jesus, and Herodion and King Herod. And when they saw the messengers, they had a choice to make, didn't they? Which way are we going to turn? We've seen this sign in heaven. We can either go to Herod and tell him that we've seen these things, that his rival has come into the world, will supply to him all the information that he needs, and maybe that would curry favor with him. This could improve our lives and our circumstances. Maybe he'd be kind to us. Or they can go, as the angels warn them, and go to Bethlehem and make their peace with the infant king and go to Jesus. And before they have time to think whether they're going to surrender or fight, we read on, don't we? Verse 13, suddenly, they've just seen the one angel at this point, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appears, with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is the offer of terms, isn't it? It's the offer of terms that you can have peace with God. Will you fight or will you surrender and know what it is to have peace with God? The Greek there, the great company of the heavenly host, the plethos, stratos, uranos. That's the actual term there. The great company of the heavenly host is often used to describe the heavens. When you look up into the sky, you know those black, dark nights? Do you love those nights where it's so dark and you can see all the stars? You see the whole company of heaven all at once. That is the plethos, stratos, uranos. When you see it all, in all its wonder, in all its glory, brilliant and absolutely innumerable. Innumerable. That's what Abraham saw, isn't it? The innumerable stars of heaven. But actually the word stratos is a Greek word. It's a military word to describe the entire assembly of all the armed men, everybody who is able and capable to fight, the entire army, the army, the navy, the marines, everybody, the stratos, all fighting men. And so when they looked up into heaven, they saw the plethos, stratos, uranos, the entire armies of heaven, all saying, "Peace on earth," offering terms of peace to us here on earth. And I think it's wonderful to know how many people have gone to Jesus since then and found Jesus since then and found this peace that surpasses all understanding. Found the peace that never changes. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in, no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in this world, peace that endures. Peace with God. Born in a manger, the greatest king of them all. Such a humble birth, so approachable, so approachable. He comes to Jerusalem not riding on a white charger, but on a donkey. Comes gently into the city, doesn't he? He doesn't have some grand mausoleum. He dies a death on a cross. How approachable is our Jesus? How acceptable is our Lord? And what a wonderful day of grace this is, that we can still go to him for peace now. This is good news. This is good news. Because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's been raised to life. And he's now no longer just raised to life walking here on the earth. He's ascended into heaven with the whole company of heaven there. And we're told that he will return. And when he does, he will return with the whole company of heaven. It says the clouds of heaven, on the clouds. He will return on the clouds. And in some way, at his birth, there was an insight into what the day of his coming would be like. And he will appear in the heavens. And every eye will see him. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he will come with thousand upon thousand upon thousand of the company of heaven, and the end will come. What a great opportunity we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ to have peace with him. And we thank God for sending his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So on this Christmas day, let's give thanks and pray. We're going to sing one further carol.